Snowball Spa. You want good words? Data Languager.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me! I'm a man! I'm 40!
And now, here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with The Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP!
Good Monday morning out there, western and northwestern Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Get into some NBA Finals thoughts with Game 6 coming up tomorrow. OU football recruiting had an unbelievable weekend and really has had a pretty good month since the Champ U barbecue. We'll talk about that. We'll do some golf wrap-ups with the Open Championship golf tournament out here at Elk City. Also, the OK Kids State Baseball Tournament wrapped up this weekend. Good performances by a couple of Elk City teams, one in particular playing for the state title. And Jared's back, so we're going to see what was he doing all week last week on his week off. It's pretty simple. That's the show. Jared Atha, welcome back.
Thank you. How are you?
I am just, you know what? I'll be honest, I'm a little wet.
From yesterday?
From yesterday, yes.
Still a little soaked?
Well, I had my windows cracked because it was pretty muggy and hot when I got to the golf course.
No.
And there just wasn't any point in my mind where I realized, you know what, your windows are kind of cracked while it was pouring down rain.
Oh.
Right as we got done. So popped in there this morning and went, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Still wet.
A little musty.
Probably should have brought a towel. Other than that, I'm fine. How about you?
I'm great. Well, I'm refreshed. The batteries are recharged, right? That's the point of the vacation, right? You get a break and you're ready to. Now I'm ready to hit the ground running. You mentioned football. I'm ready to get there.
Everybody's waiting to hear it. Now, what in the world? What did you do for a week?
Well, it's a vacation. You don't do anything. We went down to Florida. Gulf side, Navarre Beach. A lot of people go to Destin or Pensacola or Panama City. We went to Navarre Beach, which is just beautiful, white sand, just like the rest of them. And we got a little, I wouldn't call it a beach house. It was on the other side, bayside, I guess, so, which is perfect for the size of our girls because there's literally no waves unless a wave runner or a boat causes them, but still has the beach feel, the white sand and everything. It was perfect. It was nice. And that was the majority of our time there we spent on that beach just hanging out, just relaxing. So that was that. We did a lot. Don't get me wrong. We did a lot. Enjoyed the local flair of food.
Yeah, that's what, okay.
That's, I know that was on your mind there.
That's kind of where I want to go first. What? So tell us some of the things that you had.
I saw
you manning the grill one night on the Facebook.
The thing was, we found a local market, seafood market. And when I say hole in the wall, I don't mean to be critical. It was kind of a place like, this is what I wanted to find, you know, just kind of this very unassuming place. Walk in, this guy with the thickest Cajun accent greeted me, and I said, listen, I'm new to the seafood racket, what can you tell me? And he was giving me all the suggestions. We went with shrimp, head off shrimp. They had the full-on shrimp. We went the head off shrimp, but still we still had to peel them and devein them. And then I asked, well, how would you prepare it? Because I just thought it was as simple as throwing them on skewers and on the grill. He said, put them in a pan, like a tin pan, or make a boat out of tin foil. Put a can of beer on them. Throw them on your grill until they're pink. And that won't take 5-10 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's what we did. It was as simple as that. That's what we did. And, oh, my goodness. It was great. And we bought some local sauce, help me out. The sauce you always dip your
Like cocktail sauce.
Cocktail sauce, thank you. And it was great. And while we're in there, we grabbed a key lime pie.
Oh,
I was eating that all week.
Oh.
Slice one slice at a time every night. Just fantastic. So that's what. And of course, we cooked like hamburgers and hot dogs right there on the grill. But that was the highlight. But you know, going out to the other restaurants and getting what they claimed was their best dish everywhere. My wife found a place. She went back twice. I didn't. Got some shrimp tacos. That was literally a walk down the beach. I had a fantastic crab cake that was like burger style at one place. So just, you know, when in Rome, right? I mean, you when they come up here, what do they eat? They're eating steak, right?
Yeah, chicken fries.
Chicken
fries, like
yeah. We go down there, get the fish, get the crab, get the shrimp. Fantastic food.
So you just... Did you just soak the shrimp in the can of beer for a certain amount of time?
Yeah, soak it for a little bit. I don't know how long. My wife did the preparing in the kitchen, brought them out to me while I was getting the grill ready. So I don't think it was that long. It wasn't that long.
20 minutes or something
maybe
like that,
even,
tops?
Yeah, remember, tops. And I was surprised how simple it was to prepare that and how good it was. And it just makes me want to do it again. Makes me want to... go over to the little shop we have here in town and see what kind of shrimp they had. And they were big shrimp.
Yeah,
too,
I saw those. Huge. Yeah, they were size.
Huge. But it was a fun time. And I was going through it on the way home. And by the way, I got to tell you about our trip home. I was going through it thinking about, did we get to do everything? You know? And then when you're a parent, you think, did my kids experience everything? Did they make memories? And man, I would say we checked off all the boxes. We got on a boat with your brother-in-law. Big shout out to him for inviting us. Went and saw the Blue Angels practice, which was very cool. On the bay, Pensacola Bay, sitting on there watching them practice. And I thought that would scare my youngest.
Mm-hmm.
She loved it. She thought it was awesome because, I mean, when they went right over it, she felt it in your chest. And that was the coolest thing. The wildlife that we saw, the fish life, we walked out on the pier, saw sea turtles, dolphins, all kinds of fish, sharks. And one night my daughter is fishing behind the beach house and it was sunset. She's got the fishing bug now.
Mm-hmm.
So it looks like I get to take her out. But she's kind of standing ankle deep in water and she just starts freaking out. She goes, "A stingray, a stingray." She just looked down and see this stingray just about the size of a homemade or a home plate, you know, but just swim on by and no one else saw it. But the way she reacted, I knew she saw it because she knows what stingrays look like. And we saw a big stingray on the pier, by the way. But and then my youngest caught a crab about the size of my fist, little hermit crab,
right?
The biggest thing, and I didn't think it was alive, so I did the dumb thing and sucked my finger inside and it pinched me.
Yeah.
And I mean, just all kinds of, so I'm thinking, man, we did it all, man. We checked all the boxes in this trip for the girls, that is. And they loved it. They had a blast, and that's the point, right? Just make those memories for the kids. So they're already talking about, when are we gonna go back? Well, we got about another year maybe. We want to go back. If we want to try something different, go somewhere else. We had a blast. I recommend it down there. It's pretty neat.
So what about the trip home?
Oh, dear. Okay, on top of an already two-hour layover, and for some reason in Denver, after our first flight.
Yeah, doesn't that make sense? Fly clear over where you're trying to get to and then come back.
Yeah. So we had and Denver's not a bad area. You know, it's international. It's huge. There's plenty of options for food and whatever. So we get there, we're sitting through our two-hour layover, we find a good spot, and strategically found a spot where you can plug in our devices to make sure our girls are happy with the iPads and games and all that. And right when we're about 20 minutes away from getting ready to board, they send us, our flight was delayed by 2.5 hours.
Oh.
Because of weather.
Somewhere else with the plane getting there?
Somewhere else. Plane couldn't. Well, the weather was too close to Denver. They couldn't descend through a storm, you know. So they had to divert to Albuquerque, they said, and wait until the storm cleared. Well, that, once again, same process. Okay, here we go. So 2.5 hours later, boom, another delay. Hour and a half.
Oh, my gosh.
They don't have a crew. They have to wait for the. They have to find a crew.
Because the other ones are past their time,
right,
or what have you.
So we're waiting on that. Finally get on the plane. Finally get home. Or we get to Oklahoma City. Jump in the cars. Drive home. By the time my wheels hit the driveway, it was 4 a.m.
Oh, my gosh.
Sunday morning. So yesterday was pretty low-key. We all kind of just relaxed. My wife, by the way, happy belated birthday to my wife. Her birthday was yesterday. And she pretty much stayed in bed all day on her birthday. I got up. My youngest... she slept the entire, like when it got late at the airport,
right.
She slept, and then we carried her on the plane, and then we carried her off the plane. So she slept all the way home.
Yeah, kind of a normal deal for her.
Her sleep cycle wasn't disrupted. She woke up at 7:30 after
party time.
Yeah, after our, you know, once we finally went to sleep, it was maybe 4:35 after we took showers and everything. So it, but she was wide awake, and so she woke me up, and I said, all right, let's go. We need to go get mom something for her birthday. Yeah. Kind of forgot that during this whole vacation.
Was it the vacation, the birthday present?
That's what my dad said. Clearly don't know my wife yet, Dad.
All these years there, Fred.
So, yeah, it was nice to be, it's nice to be home. And but we got this great idea of kind of continuing the vacation next Saturday to celebrate birthdays. You might have seen the invite. We're going to try a little luau thing at home, and I'm going to try to find some more of that shrimp and prepare that.
Yeah, I've got a list of questions that I'm supposed to ask you concerning this event.
Okay.
To see.
Well, we might need to schedule a meeting later. To see there's what, still some questions I need answered. Yeah,
to see what all going on there. I did do my Facebook. What's that called?
Might have been planned a little with some liquid encouragement.
Yeah.
On the beach, sunbaked.
Wouldn't it be fun to have a luau at our house next weekend?
Wouldn't it be fun to do this at home?
Yeah.
With all of our friends?
And about Wednesday, you're thinking, God,
what did we do?
What a terrible idea this is. I don't even like most of these people.
I keep looking on, because we did on the Facebook, keep looking. Oh, thank God, no one else said yes, they're coming.
Yeah, just me. I'm the only one that said yes.
I only appreciate these certain people that said yes.
Here's the deal. If it's just me, you can cancel. It won't hurt my feelings.
Nah, it'll be all right.
Well, it sounds like a wonderful, wonderful vacation.
It was. Now, listen, I tried to stay in tune as far as sports as much as I could. It's, you know, I didn't want to turn on TV. And
well, no.
I didn't want to really bring my phone down to the beach other than just to play music. But my goodness, I was here. And Phoenix is 100% in control of this series. I leave, and the Greek Freak looks like the greatest player on earth.
Yeah.
When I come back. What's going on?
Multiple things. One, as we've discussed throughout this playoff run for just the entire playoffs, the other guys play better at home. You know, the role players simply play better at home than they do on the road, and I think that was part of it. I got a nice game from Pat Connaughton in game four, which was the game of the series until the last one there on Saturday night. Mike Budenholzer made a wonderful adjustment when they got back to Milwaukee, and that was have Drew Holiday pick Chris Paul up full court. And I think you see some of these late game issues for CP, turning it over. You know, just it seems like that's done a good job of making him work extra. And Drew Holiday has been fantastic defensively. He finally kicked it in gear on the offensive side there in Game Five, which Milwaukee needed him to show up in that way. And yeah, Giannis has been great, and so has Middleton. I mean, they have just figured it out, and I think that's a big part of it. That it just it feels like as easy as everything came to Phoenix in the first two games,
yeah.
It's not that way anymore. You know, Drew Holiday, I think in game four, he was like 4 of 20, but he might have been the best player because of the defensive effort he gave, hounding Chris Paul, hounding Booker. Booker's been off the charts. I mean off the charts with back-to-back 40-point games. But foul trouble has kind of limited him at times. It's been, for as bad as the first three games were from a competitive standpoint, these last two have been awesome. Phoenix made a great comeback the other night to get right there down the stretch in the fourth quarter. Phoenix's late game execution hasn't been very good. And it's weird because they were a team that won a bunch of close games, regular season, first of the playoffs, where they were executing. But, you know, a turnover in game four, turnover in game five led to easy buckets on the other end. That alley-oop to Giannis was just awesome.
See,
finish off game five.
During my long extended period of time in Denver, that's how long I was there. The game started and ended while I was there. So there was, it was crazy because there was a little sports bar near our terminal, and I was kind of following the game five on my phone, seeing where it was at, saw Milwaukee was really pulling away. Then I saw Phoenix get it tight, and I could see the TV, and I see a bunch of course, guys just kind of gathered around. And I just kind of stand up from where I'm at because I have to stay right there to watch my kids. I stand up to see that sequence that led up to the alley-oop. The airport erupted.
Yeah.
Everyone with, ooh, you know. And I thought, he just won the MVP if they win this thing. And that's going to be the poster that's going to be on everybody's wall in Milwaukee. That just did it. That capped his greatness.
See, not even that.
You don't think so?
No. Did you not see what he did in game four? That block?
No.
Oh, it probably.
Heard about it. I didn't see it.
Quite possibly the greatest defensive play in the history of the NBA Finals.
Oh, my goodness. See?
It's a two-point game with a minute left. Right at a minute.
Yes.
And they run the pick and roll at the top of the key. He stops Booker above the free throw line, makes him throw the alley-oop, then turns and catches Ayton and blocks him at the rim. I mean, it's just off the charts. Unbelievable athletic play by Giannis. But, yeah, you're right, though. A lot of times the offense trumps the defense.
Yeah.
And him catching that and dunking it as Chris Paul's fouling him. You know, it's just I think a lot of people are gaining a newfound respect for him. And I think a lot of it is just people are finally getting to learn his kind of personality. Because he's, you know, up in Milwaukee, you know, two-time MVP. But, I mean, think about this. And we're people that follow, you know, we're paying attention. He's a two-time MVP, and how much do you really know about Giannis?
Not a lot.
Not a ton, you know. And
his home country probably knows more about him than we do right here.
I think so. And so, you know, when you're starting to get to hear his thoughts after games, before games, and realize really how intellectually superb as far as basketball IQ that he is, I think you're finding out his will to win, and a lot of this ties into why he signed that extension to stay with Milwaukee. He told a story about a couple of years ago in the first round of the playoffs when they were playing the Raptors. They lost in six games. That sixth game, Middleton ended up dehydrated and had to go to the hospital, like after the game. Like, IVs weren't getting, you know, had to kind of settle him in. And Giannis said, you know what? That's when I knew I'm in the right spot. Mm. Me and that guy are going to be a great team, a great tandem, because he cares about winning just as much as I do and wants to win and will lay it all out on the line. And, you know, and that's a story nobody ever knew until he made his way to the NBA Finals. So I think people are falling in love maybe a little bit much, but you're starting to see the articles written to the framing of, is it time to make this guy the face of the league because he's not doing the stuff that's driving half of us away?
Yeah.
He doesn't have a big old political leanings. He's easy to root for, easy to like. Is it time that Giannis takes that mantle as opposed to some of the other guys that have had it, LeBron James in particular?
Yeah, could this run that Milwaukee's on right now kind of mirror, other than what the actual finals may result to be, what Oklahoma City, as far as a small market, when Oklahoma City got to the finals in 2012, kind of the same lines. Before that, no one knew a lot about Durant. No one knew a lot about Westbrook. No one knew a lot about Harden. They didn't, you know, this is just this new franchise that moved from Seattle. Here they are, and now they're thrust into the spotlight, but still they're outshined by the trio in Miami.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and obviously with Miami winning it, that was a big deal. But so it kind of feels like that. Now we're getting to know this guy. And here, now let me be a pessimist about this. You talk about being the face of the league. You know, Durant was almost kind of parallel with LeBron at that time. And Durant was portrayed as this squeaky clean kid, had a Bible in his backpack guy. And then look where that path is now with him. You know, it turns out he really wasn't. I mean, you see what I'm saying? I hope Giannis doesn't veer off that path. I hope he keeps on the path that we like to see him in.
Yeah.
And that's good because I think you're right. It will bring fans back, right?
Yeah, I had a big long talk about this on Monday, I guess, Monday or Tuesday, just about, you know, once the ratings started coming out, and they're just abysmal for this series. They're outside of the, of course, you know, last year when the ratings were known, you know, all the basketball media, all the NBA media, who are just lackeys for everything that LeBron and those guys want to happen socially, so they just, you know, pile right on.
Yeah.
They told us last year that you cannot compare these ratings to anything before because it's the bubble and it's different, so it doesn't count. Well, now when these are coming out, so what do? Naturally, you compare it to 2019, the last normal season, and they're way down, way down. So what are they doing now? Comparing it to last year. Because that's the only year it beats. Outside of last year's bubble season, the ratings for these playoffs are the lowest they've ever been. And so, you know, no one's going to write that article of why. We know why. It's because people are tired of LeBron James trying to lecture them about stuff, and he just doesn't know as much as a lot of us do.
Yeah.
And so that's where I think the NBA, they'll never do it because they're not smart enough, and they're going to kowtow to what LeBron. You know, it's interesting, like, you know, it seemed like, and maybe it was just the way that those Bulls teams ended, and I doubt David Stern was this way, but it did seem like at the end of the Bulls' run, that third title, the second time, it was almost like, okay, who's next? Let's get somebody next after MJ. We got to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And maybe they realized that was a mistake. And so now it's almost the exact opposite of, oh my gosh, we got to hold on to LeBron as long as we can because he's the face of the league. When, in all actuality, him being the face of the league is what's running people off because they don't want to listen to him.
Yeah. Yeah, they need to let the face of the league just come to you.
And right? I think that's what's happening if they'll just let it happen.
Yeah, and that's what happened to Michael Jordan after what? The Dr. J era, they weren't going, we got to find someone, you know.
Well, you had Magic and
Larry
Bird
or Magic, you know. That all happened organically, you know. And then
it did.
And then Jordan came into the scene. He wasn't, I mean, yeah, he had a great career at North Carolina, but you know what? Thank you to The Last Dance. I mean, just cuz my memory's fresh now. First, what, 2, 3, 4 years in Chicago weren't the greatest. He showed sparks, but then he turned into a superstar. And now you're right. Giannis has kind of turned into this guy of, this is what I think the fans want the face of the league to be.
I do too.
Yeah, but I totally agree with you.
But they've got to. But the NBA has got to let it happen. And, you know, it's trying to happen organically, like you're saying, but you got to let it go. You can't hold it back. And with LeBron and the power that he wields, the Jordan thing happened after Magic and Bird were kind of going down, and also after the Pistons won a couple and nobody liked them. Everybody hated the Pistons. So who was going to take down the Bad Boys? And just so happened to be the greatest player we've ever seen. And so the timing worked out so well for the league in that regard. But they didn't hold Jordan back for obvious reasons. One, he was great, and two, they probably didn't want they're tired of the Bad Boys being, you know, that team that's recognizable throughout the league. But everybody agrees with the guys at the top agree with what LeBron is telling us. That's the problem here, I think. They agree with what he's saying, and they know that China money is the most important thing in their minds, and so. They may miss a huge opportunity here with a guy that's literally a top five player of all time. There's no doubt LeBron has been that good. But you don't get the chance to replace him the way that they could very often. And they're just going to waste it because we're going to have to continue to listen to what LeBron James says. And quite frankly, a bunch of people are tired of it.
On a different topic, we were both kind of in agreement that I felt like that we were both kind of leaning, rooting for Phoenix because of Chris Paul and how they were built. Shouldn't we have been rooting for Milwaukee because of the small market aspect of
it? Yeah, I mean,
to show the rest of the country, the rest of the world, hey, a small market can still win this league.
I don't – I was in the didn't care.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, believe me, I didn't carry.
Glad to see not
Golden State, Brooklyn, Golden State,
yeah,
and
Brooklyn
Cleveland
against
Golden,
the Clippers.
State and, yeah, oh sure,
you
yeah,
know
yeah.
for
this
season,
the regular, yeah.
So glad to not see just the super teams and get different people on this stage. You know, I picked Milwaukee in six. That's looking
pretty good.
Pretty good, but we'll see. I mean, Phoenix still has a chance to win the series. I don't think there's any doubt about that. But I think it's just good. It's been good to watch. Because look at the stats from game five. Milwaukee shot 57, almost 58% from the field. Phoenix shot 55. I mean, that is just great, fun basketball to watch. You know, it was back and forth. Phoenix was killing Milwaukee after one. Milwaukee killed them in the middle two, and then Phoenix came storming back and almost was able to pull off a win. But I don't think – I think the when we get done with this series and the ratings start coming out and people – the ones that don't want to admit why – are going to say, well, it was a small market, Phoenix. Phoenix isn't a small market. They're the 11th biggest market in the country. We're calling them a small market.
Yeah, they always, for some reason, to me, feel like a small market. I don't know why. Maybe because the desert, I think, is vast
maybe so,
and empty.
Yeah.
But, no, it's a huge city. You're
they're
right.
The 11th biggest market. I looked it up just to see. And then Milwaukee's like 36th. Oklahoma City's 42, I think. Something in that late 30s.
Population-wise, though. Milwaukee, Oklahoma City has more people than Milwaukee.
I think
that's
right.
Just literally looked it up.
Yeah. And so, yeah, Milwaukee's definitely on the small market side of things. And you're right, Phoenix kind of does feel that way, even though it's not. But it's getting called that. I mean, you know, oh, but that's why. That's the method to the madness of not having to admit that the face of the league ran people off. That's just it's what's happening. But, you know, I think it's a – It's a cool story. It gives you, if you're an Oklahoma City fan, especially, like, okay, we just got to find Giannis. What or you know got to find that team because
find that guy
to build around, and it's possible. And I think that's you know, and it's also fun to watch. You know how they only shot barely just a little over 40 threes between the two instead of both of them shooting 45 threes. You know, the mid-range is definitely where a lot of these players excel, from Booker to Paul to Middleton. You know, those guys aren't just firing away from three. They're getting to their spots, and analytics be damned almost in this series, because what does it matter what your analytics say when you can't make the shots? So get to where you want to go and make the shots that you're comfortable taking. And I think that's been a big part of the enjoyment of watching this series. It's just that the people that really ought to be watching aren't, because they're sick and tired of the lectures that they get from the star player of the league.
Yeah.
Game six tomorrow in Milwaukee.
Oh, boy.
I've got some stats on how that's gone. I'll have to find them. I saw them over the weekend, and I forgot to write them down. Not great if you're a Phoenix Sun fan. I think this is the 30th time that it was tied 2-2. I think the other – I can't remember. I'll have to look it up. To our point on the text line, I wouldn't walk across the street to see LeBron James play. There's a lot of people that are – especially right here in this part of the country. That is a common sentiment. It's not anything way out of line for the way that he has just turned off the basketball fans in middle America especially. Okay, so Jared, so you got to experience the OK Kids State softball tournament, sort of.
Yeah.
It was choppy. You guys got done in a timely fashion.
We got the experience in and got it done, yeah.
Some of the others didn't. But so while you were gone, the OK Kids State baseball tournaments were played. There were a couple of Elk City teams in the state tournament. The 10U team, the Crushers, were in Salisaw. The 12U Outlaws were over in Weatherford. Very, very fine performances by both the Outlaws. The 12U Outlaws were just like your Canute team. They came up one win away from the Final Four.
From the final.
And they were actually in the bracket final the night before against Ada. They lost 11-7 and then 7-6 to Red Oak to get into the Final Four. Still a fantastic year.
That's awesome.
Fantastic run for them. Now, the 10U guys, the Crushers. The Crushers who beat us out 2-1 in regionals. They played for the state title.
Really?
They lost. Oh. Let's see. They lost what would have been the second game. Let me think about this. Yes, they lost the second game to Anadarko, which meant they had to come back and win three just to get into the Final Four. They did that. And then on Saturday, the first game was against Kingfisher, who had just beat them twice at regionals up in Woodward a week ago. And they got out to a 6-0 lead, ended up having to win 7-6 in extra innings.
Oh, boy.
With Curry McClure scoring the winning run on a pass ball. I had Texas dad when they were going to the bottom of that inning. Hey, what about if Curry hits a walk-off bomb over the fence? Wasn't quite that, but it was still the winning run as he slid in safe at home. And then they played Salisaw Cardinals in the finals, and Salisaw was the state champs. But still, heck of a summer for the Elk City Crushers. Congrats to those guys. Now, move on up to 12U. That way we don't have to play you next summer as a Sarah Eagles. But a great
That's
run.
That's how I feel about some teams in our league. Oh, time to move up.
No, it was as I talked about this the last couple of weeks, you and I both, you know, getting texts, you know, it's not just Elk City. It's not just one. There is a lot of momentum all across Western Oklahoma and Northwestern Oklahoma for baseball, for softball, in the junior high, all the way through the high school. I think this next period of maybe the next decade is going to be a really, really fun one for if you're ever a baseball fan. I had some softball girls in here on Friday.
Yeah.
That two of them were in the 12U. Two of them were 16U. They had just gone on teams and won the national title.
Wow.
One of which was what was her name? Aubrey Pogue, who was on. She was on the 12U team.
Okay.
She was the outstanding pitcher of the national finals.
That's awesome.
Won eight. They played nine games. She won eight of them in the circle. Pitching for 40 feet, already throws it over 60. You know how fast that is? It's like 100.
That's coming at you. That's fast.
Lou Wyatt almost won the home run derby in the 12U. And then there was actually three girls from Elk City on the 16U team. One of them couldn't make it. But Coach Murray, Coach J-Mac, they got to be feeling pretty, pretty good about what's coming, at least here in Elk City.
Yeah.
And then, but it's not just Elk City. It's everywhere else. When you look up in these state tournaments on both softball and baseball, you're seeing Western Oklahoma teams in it. You know, softball up there, Cheyenne, you, Elk City had a team.
Elk City.
Navajo had one.
Yeah.
And it's not, and it's multiple
age
levels.
Yeah.
That's
right.
It's not just the one group and then that's it. A lot of these places have a lot of different age levels that are making it to the state
Moreland,
tournaments.
Give them a shout.
Yeah,
Moreland was there. Yeah, yeah. That's encouraging. That's what we like to see because, you know, we know there's not going to be kind of a lull period when it comes to athletics. It's just going to keep going and going and going. And kudos to the parents and the coaches and everybody involved and the kids, you know, for sticking with it and putting the work in and having fun. And it's fun for us as fans to see them progress. You know, not even season by season, but like game by game, like, wow, they're just getting better and better and better. This Western Oklahoma is full of some really good athletes. It's going to be a lot of fun watching them grow up.
No doubt about it. Yeah. Like, I mean, for a while. It's not ending anytime soon.
No, no.
Open Championship. Shout out to our man, Rusty Wilson. He picked Colin Morikawa.
How about that?
He had Koepka, Rahm, and Morikawa. Pretty good trio there with the way that they finished. Will was looking good for a long time with Louis Oosthuizen as his top choice. Just didn't get it done. A lot of things to unpack there. I had Rahm. I had Rahm's Schauffele and Jordan Spieth. Close, but no cigar for Jordan. But the story of it is Colin Morikawa and. He went off as a 50-1 underdog. I mean, I'm sorry, 40-1. Still 40-1. And when you look at the list, I think he was the 50th guy in golf history to win two majors. And that list of 50 isn't there aren't any flukes on it. I mean, it is the people that were really, really historically good, right?
Right.
The list of one, there's some quirky names there. Ben Curtis or Sean McKeel or, you know, some of those guys that lightning in a bottle, Rich Beam, where it just lightning in a bottle, it struck at the right place, the right time, and they won one major. But to win two is a totally different level of player historically. And at the age of 24, Colin Morikawa, is he, you know, it feels like when somebody wins a couple, and it's like, okay, you know, can he get to 10?
Yeah.
Can he get to more? And so it has
– how old he is.
Yeah, and yeah. With the youth, and it hasn't really materialized for anybody just yet. I mean, it's impossible to think walking off of the PGA Championship in 2014 at Valhalla as Rory McIlroy won his fourth major. It's impossible to think he was going to be done from there, but he has been. You know, Koepka – is always there, but he's kind of hit just a little bit of a lull as far as winning them. You know, it felt like there for a little bit that teed up in a major, but Koepka's winning. And he's still there. He's still in the hunt, but we've actually seen some chinks in the Brooks Koepka armor over the last couple of years with maybe not his – didn't have his best when the moment was brightest. But Morikawa at the age of 24 and having two majors – that list is very, 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 very short.
Yeah.
And so, is he the next guy?
It seems like every time we dub somebody the next guy, they're not the next guy. They don't live up to it. I don't know why that is. They hear that talk and the pressure's too big. Just some little things just don't work out for him, but it's a great question, and I think that's, you know, everyone's going to look at the next, not just the next major, but the next two or three and go, where's he at? Where's he at? Where's he at? And he always seems to be the guy that's going to be up, you know, he's always hanging around. It's all stat where he is finished. I mean, he's up there. So I don't know. I mean, I hate to label somebody the next guy and then look like a dummy because they just weren't the next guy. Right? I mean, Spieth was kind of like that guy.
Yeah, I mean, Spieth.
He was kind of dubbed. He's the next guy. That's the guy. That's the guy who's going to put a chase for multiple majors. And then he just kind of tailed off. Now, he's a great golfer. I'm not trying to knock anybody who doesn't win it. Not a great golfer. But he just hasn't consistently done what everyone thought he would do.
Yeah, and here's the problem. Is when we say the next guy, we all know what we're talking about. We're talking about, is he the next Tiger?
Exactly.
And the problem for these guys is the answer is no. And I don't know if it's one of those things where, I mean, you're always trying to, you know, this happens in every sport. Is he the next Jordan? Is he the next this? And the answer is no. I mean, you know what I'm saying? It's just, yeah. The answer is no. Because those guys were all-time greats. All time the greatest. And so it's a little bit unfair when you win two majors, even at the age of 24. It's a little bit unfair to start firing that out there at Colin Morikawa when 99.9% chance he's not the next Tiger, because there isn't one.
Right.
You know, he can be great all on his own without having to be the next Tiger Woods.
It's the same thing, you know, going back to basketball. Everyone, you know, and that's the argument that's been consistent for the last 5-plus years. Is LeBron the next Jordan? He is the next Jordan. He's the greatest. No, Jordan is. No one can be the next Jordan because Jordan is Jordan.
That's
Tiger
right.
is Tiger.
Mm-hmm.
And why should there even be an argument? You know, LeBron's LeBron.
Yeah, great on his own.
Yeah.
It doesn't, but that's the problem with these guys. With, you know, Woods obviously isn't playing right now, but you know, just 2 years ago he won the Masters at 20 in 2019 to make 15. I think maybe what it's showing you is just how damn hard it was to do what Tiger did.
Yeah,
I mean, nobody's gonna say, even I, as much as I don't like the guy and haven't ever really liked the guy, even I will tell you. Like, Phil went in six in the age of Tiger, that's an unbelievable accomplishment.
Yeah.
I mean, unbelievable. And he's not even halfway there.
Right.
I mean, think about how good Phil Mickelson has been for all these years. And he's not even half of what Tiger got. So, I mean, it's unfair. It's going to happen just because, Tiger could conceivably still be playing health-wise. You know, right. Age-wise, he's not so old that he can't play by any stretch of the imagination. And so that's just kind of the problem with these guys being the age they are, is it's on the heels of the greatness of Tiger. And so that's going to be the first thing that it gets compared to.
Yeah,
It's the nature of the beast. It
comes with the territory, and flawed as we think it is, it just is what it is. Everyone's going to make those comparisons, right?
Yeah, it is.
We do that everywhere. It's just human nature. We do that in everyday life.
And
you know, like, I got a new vehicle. Well, it's not like your old vehicle.
You know, right.
It's not like old Joe's over there. His has better gas mileage.
and you always want to be the first one to do it. So
yeah.
It's not like you wait till Colin Morikawa wins his seventh and go, oh, man, he might be the next Tiger. Well,
right.
Guess what? Yeah. You're the 4 millionth person to say it. You know, everybody's trying to be the first. Oh, he's going to be the next Tiger. Eh, no, he's not. But that's okay.
Yeah.
That's the whole point of what I'm saying, though. That's okay. You know, Rory, Ernie Els, let's see, who else is on that list right there? Brooks Koepka. They're all really great players that have won 4 majors. But let them be that.
Yeah.
They don't have to be the next Tiger. And because of the money, it's going to be hard to be the next Tiger.
Oh, that's for sure.
Because, oh, well, you know, gosh, I played good and got second. What was it this week? $1.4 million that Jordan Spieth earned? I mean, sure, it sucks not to win, but it's pretty nice to get 1.4 milli.
Finishing in the top five is okay.
Yeah. I mean, Louis gutted that he didn't win.
Yeah,
900,000 made it okay. Interesting question on the text line. You think the problem is that there's so much talent out there right now in golf? Yes,
that's been talked about. How there's been more interest of golf, you know. I think that starts way back when Tiger, you know, shone the light on golf and it got the youth. I mean, I'm talking the kids back then. And
the
now,
ones that are now. Yeah.
That are now Morikawa's age, you know, Spieth's age.
Oh, yeah.
So you see what I'm saying? Yeah.
The youngest guys that are coming out, every one of them you hear, every almost to a man. Tiger Woods is my idol.
Yeah. Yeah.
But that's how long he's been. I mean, it doesn't even seem really, but
right.
I mean, he's been out there for 30 years almost.
When those kids were hanging his poster in their room, you know.
And two things happened. One, he sparked a different demographic of players. Kids that probably before him weren't playing golf because of their athletic abilities. They were doing other things. He made golf cool.
Yeah.
And then the second thing, and the one that I don't think you could possibly overstate, is how much he brought conditioning into the game.
Right.
So. And you're seeing it because of how far everybody hits it now. Everybody's in shape. No offense to Craig Stadler, the Walrus, but there ain't a bunch of guys that look like him out there anymore. You know, they're just not.
No.
You know, Tim Heron and kind of the plumper players of the past. There ain't none of them. The term flat belly, it matters now. Used to, probably not, but it does now because everybody is that way. So I think that's part of it. But I also just think, sure, there's more talent out there. I agree with that 100%. There's more players that have a chance to win. But that wasn't going to stop an all-time great like Woods. He was, you know, maybe he has to beat more of them. And maybe his number is, you know, 13 or 12 or 11 instead of 15. But he's still winning a bunch of majors like he did against everybody else.
Yeah.
Oh, you're recruiting. Man.
Barbecue keeps paying off.
That Champion Barbecue has been, I mean, the fruits are still.
I don't think we're done.
Being given.
I don't think it's done.
Oh, I don't think it is either.
the ripple effect that each recruit committing has, because it all can, you know, and you hear the common thing I hear about all these guys. Well, when I went to that barbecue, that was it. That was the tipping point for me.
Yeah, it was the solidifier.
That was it. And who could commit after this because, oh, he's going there? I'm going there. He's my best friend? I'm going there. You know, et cetera, et cetera.
Well, and so if you haven't heard, the 2023 class, which guys that are going to be what? Are going to be juniors.
Going to be juniors, yeah.
Malachi Nelson, five-star quarterback, number two player according to Rivals.
Which
in the
my
country.
Wife thought was insane. Where I'm watching that yesterday, she goes, wait a minute, 23? He's committing now?
Yeah.
So they're doing it now.
So Malachi Nelson, he's the number one quarterback according to Rivals, number two player in the country from out in California. He committed to Oklahoma. The day before, Treyon Webb, also a 2023 guy, all-purpose kind of running back. He's there. He was one of the guys that was blown away, and I think one of the geniuses of that barbecue was bringing those old guys back. And him to a running back, seeing Adrian Peterson, he said like, "Whoa, that's the guy. That's the guy I love." And then the coach being DeMarco, people were skeptical about DeMarco Murray being the running backs coach. Would it work? Boy, it looks like it is right now.
It's working.
From the recruiting side of things, holy cow.
And I remember when he first – he missed out on a couple guys.
Yeah, no doubt.
He's getting them now.
No doubt he did. So OU recruiting is just on fire right now.
Well, it helps when you got Baker Mayfield and Kyler Murray and
– Oh, quarterbacks.
Jalen Hurts, when they see, oh, they're in the league getting paid. And then everybody talks about Lincoln Riley's track record with quarterbacks. This is a quarterback university that they want to be at.
It's going to be hard. It's going to be hard to if the success continues, not only on the college level, but getting, you know, the number one pick in the draft, being a quarterback from Oklahoma 2 years in a row, and then a guy that, if you're paying attention, didn't look like he could throw it from me to the door that's about 8 feet away, turning into a second round choice who is now the starter at Philly. It's going to be hard to out-recruit Lincoln Riley for quarterbacks when he wants one.
Right.
And so now that's in staggered classes, the 2019 number one quarterback, the 2021, and the 2023, all committing to Lincoln Riley and OU. And now we'll see if the defensive recruiting can catch up. It's starting to. This 2022 class has some headliners, maybe not a ton yet of depth, but it definitely has headliners. On the defensive side of the ball, Derek Moore being a huge part of that. But then, you know, there's still Gabe Dindy out there, whose parents were athletes at Oklahoma. The number one player in the 2023 class, Labius Overton. His dad played at OU. That 2020, as good as 2022 could be, that 2023 one, watch out.
Well, post commitment interview, Nelson saying, right now.
It's a long ways away.
It's a long ways away, but right now they stand at, I think, number two. And I'm going to
with just two guys.
I'm going to guess behind Alabama.
Yeah, I don't know. Just got two guys.
Two guys, but he said, it's like his personal goal. His final 2 years of high school is to be in the number one class out of 2023. And it sounds like he's going to be a big reason why that could be possible, because there's talk that he's bringing a posse with him.
It's the Caleb Williams was supposed to do this as well. That fizzled out a little bit from what was, you know, speculated on. And it, you know, it's a long ways away. But if you're, you know, another team in the Big 12 or even maybe nationally a little bit, especially depending on what happens this year, you're starting to, you know, if you're the Big 12 team, thinking, dang, how in the world do we ever catch up with these guys when they keep on getting the best quarterback in the country to come in there every 2 years?
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting how he's staggering them. You know, OU's not recruiting a quarterback this year.
No.
It'd be hard to.
They're seeing this process where they know
every other year.
They're anticipating Rattler to say yeah after this year, and then Williams will take over, and he's probably good enough to declare early
maybe
too.
So this is
the process I think Riley's seeing.
It would be hard anyway. To get the number one guy in back-to-back classes.
Right.
Just because the
who wants to sit and wait, you know.
That's right.
William's like, I don't know, my time's coming, you know.
Yeah.
But, yeah, this is interesting. And real quick, I know we got to go, but having this conversation last night with a buddy who follows us more closely than I do, he said, just imagine if OU can pull off a national title between now and 23. How much that? How many times do you see someone win a national title and their recruiting goes up?
I mean,
just boost. I mean, it could go through the roof.
Yeah.
If they're able to pull something special off this season or even next season, I mean, it could be the start of something very special for Lincoln Riley and Norman.
Yeah, and that's when the defensive guys come with.
Yep.
They're starting to, but not buying in all the way.
Yep.
Then all of a sudden you do that, you start getting guys drafted. I think that's a huge key for you to continue to get defensive guys drafted.
Yep.
Everybody have a great Monday. We'll be back tomorrow.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.